You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to Psyched by MG. This is Mary Grace Randazzo-Ratliff, or MG for short. I've been a psychotherapist in private practice for 32 years now. Guess what, everyone? We all have issues. So it's time to lighten up and move forward. Let's stop letting our crap control us and take control of our crap.
Hello, everybody.
What is happening, people?
Oh, my gosh. Another big week with
another
this
week,
pandemic.
Another podcast, and here we are.
Podcast number 6, I think?
Yeah, who's counting at this point?
I know. I don't know about you, Dave, but my days are blurring together.
Oh, that's a big theme on Facebook, people saying, oh, what did, like, just what day is it? Nobody even knows because their schedules are so thrown off.
I know. Jamie Flanagan's with us too. He's our producer today. Jamie, like, you're kind of on a regular schedule. Are you going through that too, where your days are blurring together?
Oh, absolutely. My days are quite blurred together. Last Thursday, I was supposed to have my digital office hours with my kids, and it was about 5 o'clock, and I was like, looking at my emails, and I had two kids that emailed me. They're like, hey, are you going to be in the office? And I'm like, oh crap, I forgot it was Thursday, you know?
Oh, wow. And, okay. So it is for you. Cause I thought maybe cause you have more of a normal.
I do. You know, we got staff meetings and a department meeting, and then my meetings with my kids, my meetings with my yearbook kids. So I have all these meetings scheduled throughout the day, throughout the week.
Wow.
But it's still just hazy and blurry. It really is, you know.
It is, yeah. I mean, this week for me was especially, like, I was like, oh my God, what day is this? Please don't let me wake up and not see all my clients. Like, I don't want that to happen with everything that's going on.
So Jamie, you probably have a bigger challenge too, since school has been canceled for everyone.
Yes.
I don't know what that means for you as a educator, but.
It does. There's some different dynamics in Fraser, because we were one-to-one with devices already with kids, K through 12, kindergarten through eighth grade had iPads. All the high schoolers had laptops already. Every class in the high school, from welding to CAD to the baking classes, parenting, you know, math, science, English, gym, everybody had a digital website, a Blackboard online learning platform set up. So for us, it was like, all right, everybody check Blackboard on Monday from home and we'll figure it out from there. So Fraser was in a much, much, much better place than 99% of the districts.
Big time.
So we're kind of a model that people are turning to us.
Yeah.
Help us get it right. And we're like, all right, you know, here's Jamie, how much you're gonna spend.
Fraser Schools has always been above the, ahead of the curve in that regard, because all the students got tablets. Is that right?
About 7 years ago. Yep, 7 years ago, everybody got an iPad. And then about 3 years ago, we realized we were going to upgrade technology because, you know, 5 years they kind of ran their life, and we kind of decided that the iPads weren't quite enough for the high schoolers, and so we stepped up to laptops for the high schoolers, but kept with the iPads for the lower grades. We had a superintendent that was he came from an IT background, and so he was the driving force behind that. He was our principal first, and then our superintendent, and so it really helped. The kids are stressed though. The kids, because we go home, we're like, all right, here's your homework, right? But we forget these kids. They have jobs. And they're working at the restaurants and they're working at the grocery stores. We got baggers, we got clerks, and these are the kids. These people are still working, and then their parents are still working, and so now they're the caregivers for the younger siblings. And then we're piling on, you know, just a crap ton of homework, and some of them are losing their minds.
I know, you know, we're gonna get sidetracked here, but you know, I have seniors, and they are. They're kind of, it feels like they're in shock, like they're kind of suspended, because first of all, your senior year, when you're getting ready to go through graduation, it's an exciting time and it's a scary time, because there's all this unknown that's about to happen to them. You know, they know where they're going probably about this time. A few of mine don't know yet. And so there's all this unknown that makes them anxious. So all of the graduation and prom, all of that closure internally, emotionally is so important for them.
Oh yeah.
And they're not going through it. I mean, it's so sad. So they feel like they're a bit detached and in shock. And I'll say to them, you know, how do you feel? And they're like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Right. Senior year is really just more of a celebration than anything else. Actually, I feel worse for the juniors because junior year is such a high stakes year. Junior year is when you figure out what college you are going to apply to. You take your SATs and figure out, you have all the stress of taking your SATs. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's involved in athletics, it's not your performance in your senior year is going to get you a scholarship. They're looking at you in your sophomore and your junior year. If you don't have a scholarship, if a college isn't like, we're taking Becky for soccer.
Except for the swimmers.
By the time they're a senior, it's a foregone conclusion of where they've been drafted to. So it's their junior year is the critical performance year. So all the juniors this year for spring sports, those are the ones I really feel bad for because this was their time to shine. This was their time to compete for those scholarships. Yeah. The seniors. They don't have their seniors. Yeah, so what? I mean, you know, right now it's terrible and it's the worst thing on the planet. You know, 5 years, 10 years from now, it won't matter as much. You can't tell them that. But yeah. I mean, in reality, it's the truth of it. But the juniors are the ones that are getting robbed of opportunities.
Yeah. Well, just to go back to the seniors for a second. So here they are. They're not doing all those closing ceremony kind of things that get them grounded. And they're going to move. So they're suspended due to this pandemic emotionally, and they're going to be leaving. And so I'm hearing from parents like, God, they're not even excited about anything.
Yeah.
You know, that I just found out my son got accepted to this great college and they're not even having a reaction. And I said, well, you know, this is a pretty crazy time and they're not doing anything to get grounded right now. And I didn't even think about what juniors are probably facing with scholarships and qualifying. And I mean, there's so many things that are coming out now that we're realizing, you know, that ripple effect with the pandemic that keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
I do have to give a shout out to Wayne State in particular, though, because my son, that's where he's going in the fall. And the head of, I forgot her title. Head of admissions sent out an email with a video to all the parents and the incoming students, just saying,
idea.
You know, we're not going anywhere. We're gonna be here. We're gonna figure it out. You know, you're still coming here, and however that happens, we're still here for you.
Right.
So it was a good. I don't know if it's preemptive necessarily, but again, a good to kind of stay ahead of things and let them know, give them some sort of
connection.
Yeah, some sort of connection or some sort of assurance that you know, you're going to be going to college in fall, one form or another.
Yeah. Just to digress again, speak about juniors, Jamie, my son's a junior. I told him, I said, listen, one day this week, he woke up at 4:00 in the afternoon. I said, dude, that ain't going to fly. Like, you got to be up by noon and you got to do some homework. And he had in his head that he's done with school. I said, you're not freaking done with school, dude. You got to get in there and do your homework. So it took a good couple hours where, you know, he's going back and forth. I said, we're not going back and forth anymore. You're just going to do your homework. And so we've had him doing, I said, you got to do 3 hours every day of work and you have to be up by noon. That's not a big deal, dude.
Oh, come on, mom. Knock it off.
And Mary Grace, I don't know if I've mentioned this or not, but my 19-year-old, she actually picked up and moved to North Carolina 2 weeks ago.
At the
onset of all of this going on, and moved, and she's in North Carolina. It's not as bad there as it is here because we're a hot spot, but they're still at a stay at home. They still have to stay home. I'm like, she's interviewing for a job on Monday to be a pharmacist tech. And you know, she's got things going on, but she's got to get back in school and all these other things, but to pick up and leave home during a pandemic, I'm freaking out.
I'm freaking out. Yeah, and as a parent, yeah, you'd be really freaking out.
Yeah, and you know, the whole thing, the way it all happened was a completely different story. But yeah, just know, you know, you're going to prepare them as well as you can.
Yeah. Run
through this pandemic, but next thing you know, they're going to make a different decision, and it's going to throw you.
yeah. I think that's why it's just time feels really. March felt like for freaking ever.
Right.
March would not end. It just kept going. I was like, what the hell is up with March?
What's going on?
Seriously. Well, you know, talking about this, you know, we're looking at what families are going through and individuals are going through and kids are going through and parents are going through, you know, the parents that are home right now with these little ones.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You know, figuring out ways. Dave and I got together this weekend and said, you know, we should come up with a list of ideas for them, things that they could do. Mm-hmm. Because
it's aside from being with the kids or with the
kids. Yeah. How they can help themselves with the emotional stress of that. Like
other than drinking and drug use.
Right.
You know. Because I'm sure that's happening a lot.
Well,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, they actually live right behind us and they have two little boys. You know, they're 5 and almost 4, I want to say.
Yeah.
And they're outside every evening, you know, for about 45 minutes and the boys are playing. But then my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, they're out throwing a baseball at each other. They're just playing catch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, we can't go and watch them, unfortunately, because then, you know, we'd be exposed to them if they ever, you know, the young kids. And
that's right.
My wife is, unfortunately, she is immune deficient. She has a very, very small immune system. No. You know, 10 years ago when the H1N1 came out, she got swine flu and was on a ventilator and on propofol for a week and a half, almost 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So now it's like I have her in a bubble almost.
Yeah.
So. No, yeah. My hands are chapped from washing them so much. So.
Yep. I mean that, and you know, that's so unfortunate. People in that situation, you're constantly have anxiety. You know, you just got to be so careful.
Yeah. We're doing okay. You know, anxiety wise, you know, we haven't had Xanax floating around the house very much. So we're doing okay in that regard, but
it's
we still have our medications
mild,
that we have to take.
Annoying anxiety, that mild annoying.
Here's my Xanax.
The cocktail.
Yeah.
That mild annoying anxiety, you know, where we get the doorbell that rings, that we know it's a package. I'm like, everybody stand back.
Yeah, right.
I have to spray the box.
Oh my God. Yeah, we got a box. We Matt and I do the Man Cave Happy Hour.
Yeah.
The liquor wasn't available in Michigan yet. So they UPS'd us a box. And so it was on the front porch. And Colleen's like, what's that? I go, it's a liquor thing. So she put on the rubber dishwashing gloves, brought it in the house, got the Lysol, sprayed the box down. She's like, don't touch that for a half hour. And I'm like, okay. And it's like the bourbon was in there calling to me going, open me.
We were on a conference call yesterday, Mary and I, with the Oakland County Sheriff Bouchard and, you know, a whole bunch of other health folks, and they're saying if you get a package from Amazon or what have you, leave it outside for 3 days because it takes about 72 hours for any germs that are on there, especially the COVID, to die. So don't touch it for 3 days when you get a package.
The problem, though, is somebody else will touch it within those 3 days and take it. That's what you have to be more fearful about.
Yeah.
Right. So, or at least, you know, kick it somewhere else where they can't see
it. Carry it to the garage with gloves on. Right.
Yeah, hide it somewhere.
Right.
Yeah, don't bring it in the house for a few days, right?
Wow. Unless you know, I bleach wipe it, too. I bleach wipe the hell out of the cardboard.
Yeah, right.
Get it all killed out. But, you know, like I was saying, Dave and I, we were talking about maybe we can come up with some things, you know, for parents and individuals. You know, one thing, speaking, Matt, of your, you know, those two little guys that live behind you that you can't even see. I when I was talking to Dave, I said, you know what parents should do? Because parents need a break.
Mm-hmm.
Parents need a freaking break.
Yes.
They are exhausted. And I was telling Dave, you know, what's wrong with the virtual babysitter where you plan your babysitter to do a Skype session and you ask them to, you know, come up with, you know, a task, a hobby, something, you know, craft is the word I'm looking for.
Right.
That they do with your kids to give the, you know, give that parent or those parents, especially single parents right now, give them a break.
Right. So, Mary's actually doing something. When she feels better, she's actually putting together a Zoom or Skype session with her, our nephews to read to them.
Exactly. Right? Read a story.
Yeah, read them a story. So that gives you know my sister that gives them an opportunity to sit back and just like they wouldn't have to worry about the boys for a few moments. So because they you know, Jason's used to working from home, but they have a nanny. And the nanny is not allowed to come over because of her age.
Yeah.
So it's a ripple effect. It really is.
It really is a ripple effect. And to, you know, to schedule these sitters, you know, the kids can make some money or the nannies can make some money.
Yeah. And they still paid the nanny. She was on her mother passed away, unfortunately. But they still paid her and they're thinking about bringing her back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
What do you do in that time? So,
you know, you could do the virtual world, you know, that way with the kids who would enjoy it and, you know, like the connection, but storytelling, crafts, games.
These are 5 and 4 year old boys. They don't sit still for very long. They really don't.
Yeah, the attention span is very short, unfortunately. Very short.
Yep. Well, that's when you can get what is it that Jackbox is something that you can do with them during that time too, where you can kids who can't sit still, you could do Jackbox, which is a bunch of games that that sitter or that grandparent or that auntie, whoever it is. Can do with the kids to give those poor parents a break.
Inform me. What is? I'm not familiar with Jackbox. What
it's really,
what is
it's really this? Cool, Dave.
Matt, you might have to explain it because I just learned about it.
Yep. This Jackbox. There are virtual games out there that you can bring a pool of people together. You know, we actually did this with my team from work. We had 9 of us and 8 of us were allowed to play all at once. And we were playing a game that was called, you'll have to forgive me if I can't remember the name, but we were able to control the game and our answers on our phone, all 9 of us at the same time.
Wow.
And it's a website, www.jackbox.com. And then everybody logs in. There's a code that's provided. You log into that with that code and then everybody can play. And if you play on something like this with the Zoom, you have one person that's kind of running the show on their television.
Yeah.
But everyone can hear it. Right.
Yeah.
It's really
great interactive.
It's very interactive, very forward thinking as far as what we're going through right now. But Jackbox, thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Because I just experienced it last week.
Yeah. Yep, with the boys. I mean, and the girls. I mean, girls would love that too.
I'll have to look this up later. And that sounds like a good thing for clients to look into as well.
Honestly.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I also noticed this week is people decorating their doors. Have you guys seen any of this?
Yes. Actually, with again, our seniors, of course, since they're not going to finish school this year. The parent group got together on their Facebook page and somebody brought up the idea of decorating their doors for, you know, to honor their seniors. So, you know, there are tons of doors in Woodhaven are decorated with senior stuff like their band banners or their they used to have, Woodhaven did a great thing. Like whatever activity they were involved in, they would put a sign on their locker. So if you're on swim team, you had a swim team poster on your locker. If you're on, you know, the football team, you'd have a football sign in your locker. So, you know, parents are putting all those kind of signs up on their doors. And I mean, I can't take credit for this, but my wife did all the work. She actually put out lights like, they were technically Christmas lights, but they're Woodhaven's colors, purple and white. So she decorated the front of the bushes with lights too.
Yeah. I think that, and you know, to expand it to, you know, to show support for all the people on the front lines, to do thank yous. I mean, I'm planning to do my door this weekend to just pay tribute to all those people who are on the front lines and they're dealing with all the stress and they're dealing with it alone, some of them. I was on Facebook this morning, and there was an ER doctor. I happened to click on this. It was so strange. I think CBS did a special where they interviewed an ER doctor and everything that they were going through, and they literally went into the ER. And I've been saying this, like, you know, to give people a reality check, you need the news media in the hospitals to see how bad this is. And so sure enough, he was talking about something that I had wrote about on the Facebook page, that how much they need people to connect with them. And how much, you know, he's like, please just give us a text, send us a GIF, send us an emoji, you know, just tell us that you're there, because we, you know, this is literally a war zone, only when they're done, when they can rest, they're in isolation. And that's what scares the crap out of me as a mental health professional. That, and Dave, you and I talked about this last time, that isolation is not good for any form of mental stress. And so, you know, for everyone who knows somebody, and if you don't know if they are or not, ask, just to send regularly something and check in. And you don't even have to know the answers or what to say. You just have to listen and validate how hard it is. They don't need anybody to figure anything out for them. They just need somebody to connect to. And then just to keep going for a second, did you guys hear about people who have RVs are allowing medical practitioners and all different forms who have to, when they go home, they can't go and be with their families. They have to quarantine. Mm-hmm. And apparently there was a nurse or a doctor in New York who was sleeping in her car. And it started, I think a neighbor who had an RV got it out of storage and parked it in the driveway. And so now hopefully this will get somebody thinking about it. But if you have an RV or a nice camper, that you can, you know, check around your neighborhood, find out who is in need. Some people don't have the space, and they have beds and garages, to go ahead and offer up your RV to let them, you know, stay in there.
I did see that. I actually saw the story on that, and there it ended up being, one person had to start it, of course, but I've seen more and more people kind of doing that. So I think that's catching on as being
something that
can be a very useful thing for people.
What a great freaking idea. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've talked many times about how, you know, don't feed fear, don't feed depression or despair. How you feel better is you feed creativity. You figure out different ways to participate, help, and connect. And when you spend time there, you feel all the hope that you need to feel, and it will get you out of that place of despair and desperation. So, but that RV thing, oh my God, that gave me chills when I was reading about that idea.
Yeah. There's a few people who have like Airbnbs. And right now, people are not Airbnb-ing, so they're giving up their Airbnbs to medical workers to use instead of going home. Because, yeah, a lot of medical workers are sleeping in their cars, and they're worried about it, so they're giving up their Airbnbs. Colleen told me about that.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
That is such a great idea.
And I haven't seen so many, you talked about creativity and artistic outlets. I haven't seen so many sidewalk drawings in my
neighborhood. Oh, yeah.
Right.
And there
That's
was
another one
today. It was like at the mouth of the driveway, they had written, enjoy your walk. Cause so many people, you know, you can take walks. I mean, you're not, it's not like
you're not isolated. Yeah.
You can get on, you can't go talk to your neighbors and hang out and play poker or euchre or whatever you want to do, but you can take a walk and wave at them from across the street. And you can. So Colleen and I usually try to get out for at least one or two walks a day. She says that since our dog is gone, she tells her friends, she's like, yeah, so I take Jamie for his daily walks.
Well, question is you use a collar and a leash? I hope not.
Yeah. It's a choke collar. Don't let him fool you.
That's a different show.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, again, that is such a great idea. And I was thinking about doing something on the driveway too, making my teenagers get out there. But I can't find my freaking sidewalk chalk because now they're so old. I'm sure I either pitched it or, yeah. You know, puzzles are selling out everywhere. Did you guys know this?
Oh, no, you can't find them anywhere. I mean, I just happened to be, I don't remember where I was at. I could have been Target. I had to go get something. Again, I'm trying to stay in as much as possible. Yes. But I just happened to just run down that aisle and nothing. It's just empty. No puzzles to be found.
Yeah. But you know where you can get them is eBay. eBay is where you can get the puzzles.
Unless people are like selling those like they were, you know, the other cleaning supplies and jacking up the price three times the cost.
There's always one piece missing too.
Yeah. Right.
You got to kind of scroll through because I did get one for only $14, you know, buy it now. But the puzzles the reason I think the puzzles are selling out. I mean, you can feel like you have control over something. I just finished 1,000-piece puzzle and felt a little bummed that I put the last piece in because it was a nice little distraction. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, oh, wow, I see the outcome of this. This feels really good. So I immediately, you know, ordered another puzzle.
Have you ordered anything online to occupy your time?
I've looked for a couple of things and I haven't, I know my son has, of course. He ordered 2 games online yesterday for his PlayStation. So I know he's working towards it. Mm-hmm. I've kind of looked at the puzzle section on Amazon and haven't really kind of decided on one yet. But that kind of got piqued my interest. I haven't done a puzzle in God, 20 years. I don't know.
Yeah, me either.
But it sounds interesting. But it sounds like I'm sure I would enjoy it. It's you know, it's kind of the same. Adult coloring books have become really popular over the last 10 years.
That's
or so.
Another one.
And it's another just a therapeutic thing where it's kind of like, in a way, you kind of can revert back to childhood for just a short period of time just kind of
do something mindless. Mm-hmm. Something, you know, there's another tip that. I learned when I wanted to paint, which didn't work out, but it's called the scribble drawing, where you take a sketch pad and you close your eyes and you take a pencil and you lightly just scribble all over the page. And then you open your eyes and you see an image or you find the picture in the scribble and then you erase away the lines that don't fit. And you either color it in, paint it, watercolor it, chalk it, whatever. And it helps people who always want to paint to get past that block that, you know, a lot of people go through. Mm-hmm. You know, you see that blank canvas and it's really overwhelming. And that perfectionistic side for a lot of people can take mm-hmm. over. But this allows everyone to just, go for it and find the image in it. So a scribble drawing is a nice project too that, you know, kids can do, adults can do. Dave, do you have any ideas?
Well, the other thing you talk about having like breaks, because again, now sometimes, unfortunately, if people are off of work, that's a challenge, of course, mm-hmm. but now you have, in some cases, 2 adults, 3 or 4 kids all in the house all day long. And I'm telling the adults, I'm like, listen, you need to take a break. You need to have arrange with each other. Like, okay, I get a break from like 4 to 6 and then just go walk, just go do something, just get away from the house for a little bit.
Tag team.
Again, I know don't go anywhere, you know, don't go out where you're not supposed to, but do something that's just going to clear your mind. You're by yourself and you can get that break.
Yep. Tag team it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I my kids are older now, but I'm kind of thinking the business side, like, okay, you guys need to offer to, you know, get on Skype and watch some kids and give these parents a break. My son would say no, but my daughter might say yes. So the other thing, you know, that we're dealing with is people who you know, need help because they're not working, or small businesses. You know, Dave, you brought up that what just got released was the loan 7B8 or A7. Remember we were talking about?
Yes, yeah. They're calling it the payroll protection loans.
Through the SBA. Through the SBA, right?
Yeah, the SBA loans, yes. Now the problem is, again, rolling this out is going to be a lot more challenging. The idea is fantastic. But Chase, who I do my business banking through, just sent me an email today saying, we were supposed to have these applications out today. Unfortunately, we don't have clear direction from how these are going to work, so they haven't been able to offer it yet. But definitely something if you're a small business owner and you're out of work, or even if you've, you don't even have to be out of work. If you've had to reduce payroll, or you just have less income coming in, you will qualify for one of these loans.
That's the thing. Mm-hmm. The banks, you know, they just got direction last night,
right,
as of Thursday, April 2nd, say, hey, this is the program. Here are the guidelines. Now the banks are trying to figure out how to take that to market. Mm-hmm. So they're probably looking into next week and postponing the live applications. I actually have a few clients that called me. I don't do business banking, but they still call me and say, what's going on? So, you know, what I'm learning is that, you know, the guidelines are there, but the banks are working through that to integrate everything into their programming. So then they can go to market and do the right thing. So there are no hiccups with that customer experience when going through this new process in this new world for that matter. So, you know, with Chase or Fifth Third or Huntington, they're all a part of that. So the best thing to do is just to call the banker there, find out the guidelines, what you need to have prepared as far as payroll documentation.
Yeah.
So then you can walk in and be ready to pull that trigger, lack of a better term, but pull that trigger when you're ready to rock. So
thank you, Matt.
The other option for business owners as well is if you go to a Small Business Administration website, there is a disaster relief loan also up to $10,000 that businesses can get.
There are so many options out there for small business owners, whether it be payroll or deferment of payments for commercial loans or something. There are, even on the personal side for your installment loans, what have you, there are options out there. So, you know, just sitting down and talking to your bank, what the options
are.
If you are struggling with payments, because you may not qualify because you're not struggling, right?
Yeah,
you might be an essential worker. You're probably able to still bring in a paycheck. You probably wouldn't qualify. So if you're not struggling, don't apply. Let that money go to
somebody. Really let it go to the people who need it.
Correct.
Yeah.
And just like toilet paper.
Correct. You know, and the other good thing, and we go back to having the stress and the anxiety about this is not having control and not knowing what to do.
Yeah.
But if you just gather information, you don't have to pull the trigger on any of these things right away, but at least you'll know, okay, I have options depending on where this goes to.
Yes.
And at least that'll make you feel a little bit more like, okay, that'll give me some hope if I need to do this.
Yes. Not feeding that entrapment thing that we've talked about before. Yes. Do not feed entrapment or despair. And so create resources, create options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hung up, you know, just before we were getting on, I hung up with my dad and he's like, Mary Grace, I'm so worried. I was due for a haircut 2 weeks ago. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I started laughing. He goes, you know, I don't like long hair. Cause you know, he's 82 or 3 this year. And I said, well, Dad, you know, you might have to have Teresa, my stepmother, you know, trim your hair a little bit. And I started to think, I thought, oh my God, she's 86. Like, I don't know if she could really do that for him. And
I want to see that haircut. I want to see what the result of this is.
Whoa.
I think that would be very entertaining. You know, of course, at the expense of your dad, but I'm sure it would be interesting to say the least.
Thus, we know why. We know now why he's wearing a hat. All right.
That's right. It's the hair thing. He's like, you know, you women are okay. You can grow your hair out. And I wanted to say to him, but Dad, we can't color it. You know, like I have highlights. I'm going to have very, very dark hair pretty soon. But I got what he was saying.
There's a meme. There's a meme out there.
My natural color. Yeah. That's all.
Yeah.
There's a meme out there on Facebook that says by the end of the year, there's going to be 20,000 less blondes in the country.
Oh yeah,
something like that.
More than that. But you know, I was thinking, you know, geez, what would be kind of nice in some ways is some of these stylists did Skype sessions and did, you know, a consult and said, listen, let me see your hair. What's going on with it? This is what you could do. This is what I would recommend, you know, for women, you can order this and get this product and I'll show you how to do it. And that to think a little bit out of the box for some of these people, especially people are really freaking out about their hair. And I have a nail issue. I mean, I'm like, oh, these puppies are coming off because I can't go to the nail salon.
Those are acrylics, aren't they?
Yes, these are acrylics. My claws are not real. So, but yeah, that, you know, think out of the box. I mean, I think too, for business people, definitely think out of the box. Like I was talking to Dave this weekend and I said, you know, God, my creativity is just going nuts because when I'm hearing the stories of all of these caregivers and the isolation and all of that, you know, and coming from having a tech startup, I thought, geez, everyone's got a television. Every patient has a television in their room. Mm-hmm. And we could, you know, put the podcast on the television. We could get a therapist, you know, therapist to sign up every hour and start giving emotional support, whether it's to the patients or to the mm-hmm. staff. There's ways to use technology that we can really reach people and help them with this isolation issue. Mm-hmm. And calm anxiety.
And phones, you know, mm-hmm. there's so many ways to connect. Yeah, there's so many ways.
So many different ways.
And this happens typically. I mean, if you look at, and again, this is, it's a different type of thing than we've ever went through. But there are disasters that happen all the time: floods and hurricanes, and right. and the Red Cross goes and services those areas. Right. But they always right. and actually was a certified Red Cross volunteer for a bit. But they always have a mental health person go with them as part of that team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so they're all, mental health thing is always a part of it.
That's right. And you know, when you're in the front lines like that and you're not, it's not even post-traumatic stress, it's traumatic stress. And you've got to help these people debrief, connect, you know, do things to help them to be in the present where there really is life outside of the hospital, outside of the war. But for these medical professionals and plumbers that are working in the hospital system and techs that are working and, you know, even the administration, I started to think about them today, you know, these CEOs in the hospitals who are feeling the weight of all this, they have to have a certain form of support that they're not getting because you can't send the Red Cross into the, this is not a hurricane, this is a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to think outside of the box in how to help them. And we can do it through technology. Mm-hmm. So I've got a few things brewing with some people and hoping that will take off. But
I have a friend that is, you know, an employee engagement specialist for one of the major healthcare providers here in Southeast Michigan. She has the toughest job to keep the employees happy as far as an engagement piece as an employer. So I plan on reaching out to her just to see how she's doing.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, you know, how can I help, you know, with that financial wellness piece? Because these employees are coming in and they're exposed. They already know they're exposed. But how do you keep them engaged as an employee? Right.
Yep.
So she's got a very, very tough job.
Give her my name and number and, you know, we'll strategize with anybody to help them with the emotional piece as well. Right. I mean, it's hard to watch. It's hard to hear about.
Yeah. I definitely will do that. Just see what they're doing as far as an organization for their employees on that piece.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely ask that question.
Yep. Their tech teams can be, you know, I started to even think about, boy, you could do self-help. Like you could have patients talking to other patients. You could have volunteers who sign up to do a call in and do a visit with each patient. Like, you know, it used to be the candy stripers years ago. I don't know if they still do that. Mm-hmm. They, you know, come around to each room and check in with people.
Oh, they still do.
Oh, they do?
Oh, they're still around. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if you call them that, but they do go around, and they're volunteers. Yeah. Hey, what do you need? How can I make your visit a little bit better?
So yes.
They still do that.
Yeah, that I think that is that isolation and increase in stress kind of hits on, you know, one other thing that I wanted to try to touch base at least today on. And Dave and I are both seeing it, but it's the increase in anger at home with this isolation issue. You know, parents are stressed, partners are stressed, people are on top of each other. I know I'm seeing it where people have short fuses, people are lashing out, they're intolerant of their kids, they're drinking a lot more, eating disorders are, you know, struggling with binges, shoppers are struggling with buying. And I think we're going to also see that go up the longer that this, you know, stay home and stay safe continues. You know, people breaking things, people, you know, taking situations, you know, the wrong way. It can happen. It's, you know, everybody does it. It just depends upon how intense those reactions are. Of course, if you're somebody who, you know, tends to punch the wall and scare the kids, or if you're somebody who hits, or somebody who's getting intoxicated, especially, you know, daily, that there's a serious issue there. And isolation is the worst thing you can do. Dave, I don't know if you want to jump in on this one. I mean, isolation is just the worst thing that can happen. It will feed all those behaviors.
Right. And again, it's a different situation than these people have probably ever been in, because they're thrust together with everybody in the same place.
Yep.
And they're getting frustrated and there's nowhere to go. And I'm not saying isolate as far as emotionally, but just even have your own time, just to get away and take a breath, and you're forced into this. I hate to say this because it's, you know, you're with your family and your kids, but they're not, people aren't used to being together like that in a household 24 hours a day, every day, day after day. Yeah. And that can be a challenge.
Yep.
So you do have to get out and, you know, I go back to one of the earlier things that we mentioned, is just having time to yourself. You have to have alone time, not to isolate, but to feed yourself whatever you need, whether that just be a walk or enjoying a TV show or whatever that is for you, just on your own.
Yeah, you got to calm those circuits down. Like we're all like the ever ready bunny, like, you know, the Energizer bunny. We're just go. And especially parents, they're just on. And those circuits just get so worn out emotionally. And next thing you know, you're intolerant of, you know, the kids spilling something, you're frustrated, you're struggling. And I say to people, it's okay if you go through those things, but when you see yourself doing it, you got to own it. Right. You got to say, you know, look at, I know that I have a short fuse right now. I know that I'm tired. I know that I'm snapping. I'm sorry. I'm that empty. I'm that just depleted of energy at this point. And if your partner says, well, I'm just as empty, okay, then both sit down and say, let's order the pizza. No one's cooking. Right. Make decisions that take care of both people, because one isn't more than the other. You're both stressed out and tired.
Or one may need it at different times than the other. You know, and that's kind of what as a couple, you should try to support yourself or support each other as far as like, okay, I know you need time, I need time, and we can kind of help each other do that.
Yes. And to schedule that, you know, as a couple, to take 10 minutes each day and touch base and say, look at, this is what I'm dealing with today. This is what I think I'm going to need. Take the time to figure out what you want, what you need, what you're thinking, and how you're feeling. If you don't take a few minutes to do that, you won't be able to communicate anything to anybody else. So you have to pause. And again, if you are acting out, that's not the problem. The problem is you've got to own it. Don't just keep feeding that fire and continuing to scream and to yell and to scream and to yell and then hurt somebody else or make someone else who's already stressed more scared, especially kids. You know, take, and if you're somebody who has a temper, go take the walk, go disengaged. And hear me saying to you, I understand that you're angry. I understand that you're fatigued. I get the feelings, but you've got to figure out a different way to handle the feelings. You got to vent. I'm not talking, you know, you have to figure something out. I'm talking to just bitch about the freaking situation. Matthew, who's going to be with us next week, called me. He said, how you doing? I said, I want a bitch. I said, Jesus God, 70 freaking days. Oh my God. And you just got to vent and get it out. Mm-hmm. And tell the person who you're talking to, I need to just vent this out right now. You don't need to fix me. I just need to vent the frustration. And to breathe, don't, you know, when we're all pretty ramped up and the adrenaline's flowing, you shallow breathe, which feeds anxiety, just feeds it and ramps you up even more. So the other thing is, if you really think you have a problem with this, you need to call a therapist. Let them help you to walk through the whole thing so that you're not hurting somebody. Even if you do it short term, so that we can help you when you're home with your family in this intense time to just not take it out on everybody because they don't deserve it. And you're going to feel like crap because you've done it and you don't deserve that. So the other thing online is support groups are online. Like people, if you don't know it, they're doing phone sessions, they're doing Zoom, they are there to help you. And there's certain meetups now that are dealing with certain issues too, that if you get on meetup.com, I think it is, or meetup, whatever, just Google meetup.
If you put eHarmony.com, is that what that's called?
Is that what it is?
Is it eHarmony.com?
No. Well, there's that if you're feeling lonely. If you're feeling lonely, looking for a relationship, it's a nice time to play on eHarmony right now.
But the problem is you can't meet each other, so you know.
Yeah. But outlets, there's three outlets to stress, everybody. It's exercise. So if you're feeling like you've got a lot of adrenaline, you're feeling pissy about every freaking little thing. Not that I've ever been there. But there's exercise, talking, sex. Now, to people who have sex addictions, I want you to talk to your sponsors and your self-help groups.
Well, wouldn't that qualify as exercise, though?
Yeah, for some. But it does release stress from the body, all three. People tend to, you know, adults tend to need all three. But you need the talking part. I mean, I think that's so important. Or journal, you know. How many times, Dave, do we say, please purge your thoughts? Because if you just get them out, you're going to find that you settle down.
Right.
Nobody has to read it. I say that to my clients. I don't have to read it. Like, just write as fast as you can and get the shit out. So it's not weighing you down and you can sleep better.
Here's the interesting thing about journals and going back to the young people and even in older people and everybody doing this journaling. You know, 50 years from now, they'll be together. With the words.
Yep, Jamie, you got to say it again. You went in and out.
Oh, so
we heard 50 years.
Yeah, there'll be like a new Ken Burns putting together a documentary on this experience. And you're documenting history. I mean, we're living through history. And you know, I tell my kids that all the time when they get really, you know, it's like, well, I mean, you're kind of living through history. That when you document this, take photos, write down what you're thinking, write down what you're seeing and how it's impacting you. And believe it or not, people will care. And I care. So tell me.
Even
not just my kids, but, you know, the older kids too.
Yes.
Document what's happening because people will care.
Yes. Time capsule. Put it in a time capsule right now. Bury it in your house.
I mean, it's history. It's just like any other event in the world. People write about what happened, and 100 years later, somebody's going to read about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they'll ask, well, what were other people doing? Well, you can document an experience. One of my coworkers, even today, went outside to sit on his porch because it's absolutely gorgeous out.
Yeah.
He sat down, and two gentlemen go driving by on two four-wheelers dressed up as clowns saying, hey, neighbor, hey, neighbor. Aww. So what did, Jamie's face is awesome. You know, what are people doing to make each other laugh? that's funny. That support. What are we doing?
Yes. So yes.
Document that. That's a great point, Jamie.
Yep. We won't see Jamie doing that, but it's a great idea.
Jamie doesn't have a clown costume somewhere.
I would do it. I just don't want to see it. I don't want to see a clown racing down the street on a four.
Whoa, Nelly! I don't know. What do you want?
Is Jamie? Are you clown phobic?
A little bit.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh my gosh. So when that whole, clown thing came out, what was it, 3 years ago?
Yeah. No.
That was not good for you.
Oh no, you didn't want to watch it No. Okay. Oh,
gosh. And I was one of those terrible people. My daughter turned 16 that year and all the kids were talking about it. All the high schoolers were talking about it. And my daughter had a couple of these little girls that were real shits, like real shits. And so I said to her, you're going to have this party at the house on the back porch. I said, your father's got a clown costume.
Oh boy.
I think we should have him dress up and scare the living crap out of everybody.
Okay. First questions first. Why does your husband have a clown costume?
I actually don't know. He had a clown for some Halloween thing. And so sure enough, all the kids were on the back porch. And I cued my husband, go in the garage, put the clown costume on. Wow. And it was dark and he came walking through the backyard and scared the lit. And then he came right up the stairs. And it was so terrible. The boys literally pushed the girls out of the way and stepped over them. They were like, I'm getting into that kitchen. I don't care who I'm stepping on. It was awesome.
There was a picture going around. There was it was a red balloon. Right over a grate with a toilet paper tied to it, right?
I saw that one.
That's great. I've not seen that yet.
Yeah, that was on Facebook. That was on Facebook. But yeah, I think what we're doing is another good tip is, if you're feeling that bogged down and you're feeling it angry and it's spilling over, you got to laugh. Like you got to start watching some comedy, start looking at some, funny videos. That's another good way to let this stuff out. Cause it's some crazy crap right now.
Well, if you want to watch something that's going to make yourself feel so much better about your life, watch Tiger King,
God.
I don't know if you guys have seen any of this yet, but
yeah,
Amy, have you watched it?
Not yet, not me.
Oh boy,
on the list.
I was supposed to.
Oh yeah, she killed her husband.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. I had a homework assignment.
That fucking Carol Baskin.
Watch it. Oh my god.
You guys, you won't get the what we're saying, but if you watch it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, she did it.
Oh, she did. Yes.
Oh my God, I was supposed to watch it for you, Dave.
You were supposed to. That was your assignment for the podcast.
I'll watch it over the weekend.
Good luck finding a jury.
Right. Yeah, that doesn't know about it, right?
Are you serious? I mean, this thing is really big.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's intriguing. It makes you kind of go pause and think, wow, is that really out there? But then you're like, yes, it is.
It's bizarre.
It is so far out there.
So far out there that you would think this is like that this is made up, like it's a mockumentary and that these are actors. That's how just out there this is.
Craziness.
That's really? Why the gentleman that's doing that did was filming everything. He's like, this is absolute gold. He's like, I'm going to sit back and just rake in the money, but then you have to watch it. It's craziness. It's mayhem. It just, it makes you go, wow. people actually did shit like that? Really?
Well, even just to think that this is semi-recent too, it's like these people exist in this world.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It is reality.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. So if you want to feel better about yourself, as Dave said,
yes,
absolutely watch it.
You'll feel like what you're going through is nothing, that you are so sane that, yeah.
Fair too. Yeah, okay. All right, Dave, I will definitely follow through with watching Tiger King, right?
It's I can't wait to see the reaction.
Oh, yeah.
When you come back after you watch it.
You know,
6 or 7 hours of your life, just watch it.
And there are tons of videos on YouTube of people reacting to watching something. You need to record yourself watching
it. All right, I'll record myself watching
it. Record yourself watching it. That would that will be worth seeing.
All right, then I'll send it to you.
You're like 55 minutes in.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So I think, you know, we've hit on the key things. I hope we are giving everybody a lot of good ideas. I think, you know, like I said earlier, the key is to feed creativity right now.
Uh-huh.
And come up with alternatives and think out of the box in ways that you could help somebody. And that helps you to not feel trapped. And it helps you to feel connected to other people. You don't feed despair. And then hopefully we give you some good tips. If we can find more, maybe we can post it on the Facebook page, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
We can write them up and post it. And then, you know, everybody's starting to get more and more stressed out, which is understandable. We just hope that, you know, like we've said so many times on all the other podcasts, don't isolate.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think you're the only one with the problem. Everybody has it to varying degrees. Mm-hmm. And if you think you don't, you're full of shit. That you really let people in to help. And, you know, I've always said, I want you to fall in love with your crap, you know, take control of your crap. Don't let your crap control you. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, really, you know, look at what you're doing, whatever mistake you're making. It's no fucking big deal. Just deal with it. It's what you do with mistakes that are the most important thing to deal with.
That's
good advice.
Let me emphasize real quick, Mary Grace, because you brought it up before, you know, call a therapist. I mean, people think businesses are shut down, but we are still able to do things by phone and online.
And good point.
So
yes, my office is
still out here working.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. You need a therapist. Do you want, my office is open. My phone number is on my website, Psyched by MG. Yep. And Dave's, you know, practice is open. Mm-hmm. You know, and it doesn't have to be long-term. If you call us up and say, I just want somebody to get me through this pandemic. Good. Great. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Self-help is available. Reach out to other friends that you have,
support groups on the face space and what have you. There are a lot of vehicles out there.
And really, everybody is going through this together.
It's
we can all benefit from each other.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, I have my temper tantrums just like anybody else. And I, you know, say my choice words, and sometimes I got to own it and say, I'm sorry, I'm being a little shit right now. And yes, I do say that exactly. And I say, you know what, I've stretched myself too thin and I got to figure this out. Or, you know, I go into the kitchen. I made biscotti yesterday. Why did I do that? I've eaten like 4 biscottis. I can't tell you. And I made them extra chocolatey. And biscotti is like a hard cookie that Italians make that you put in your coffee.
Yeah.
Oh, yum. So, oh, yum. Oh, and this is all over. I'll make a whole bunch.
Okay.
So anyway, so that we don't go too far over here, Jamie. So I want to thank everybody for talking with us, Dave,
mm-hmm,
right?
Absolutely.
My host, Matt Fox, mm-hmm, Flanagan.
Thanks for letting me crash the party, yes.
Anytime,
yep. You're
and I was
always
so
welcome.
Glad with you with the banking and the financial information. Mm-hmm. I forgot all about that.
Yep.
and Jamie with the teaching and having his, you know, finger on, you know, what all these kids are going through.
There's just so many layers of the complications to just making it through 24 hours. It's don't try to do it alone. Don't reach out to somebody.
It's going to continue, and everything's going to continue to evolve. You just got to be able to bend. So.
Yes.
Ooh.
Absolutely.
Nicely put. Nicely put.
Be Gumby, so. Damn it.
Be Gumby. Yeah. Gumby.
Well, I want to thank everybody for being with us today, and hopefully you'll connect with us on Facebook at Psyched by MG. And we'll be coming to you next week because we're going to be doing this podcast every week now on Friday at 6:30.
There we go. We will be here for you.
Be here for you. And on YouTube and LinkedIn and awesome. Everywhere.